Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30, investing for Christ. Perhaps this is a very familiar story to you, often known as the parable of the talents from other versions of the scripture, renders bags of silver in the one you have before you. It's often known as the parable of the talents. A story that's had quite an impact, really, on our culture. We speak of someone having talent, and it comes from this parable our Lord Jesus Christ told. Strictly speaking, a talent was indeed a bag of silver, if you like. It was a weight of money, varying in different places and times. The Attic Greek talent was equivalent to 60 Attic minae, or 6,000 drachmae. A talent of silver in Israel weighed about 100 pounds, or if you like it in European terms, 45 kilograms. A talent of gold in Israel, on the other hand, weighed 200 pounds and was 91 kilograms. It was in medieval times when, under the influence of this very parable, it took on the wider meaning, talent, meaning personal ability. Indeed, my dictionary, the Collins, 1979, refers in its definition to the word talent, Matthew chapter 25. So returning to the sense in Matthew, a talent may well have been, this bag of silver might have been equivalent to 6,000 days' wages. When one day's pay was a drachma. And that works out to about 16 years' work, not counting weekends off. And put that in today's minimum wage terms, for over 25, we end up with the man with five bags or five talents was given £1,687,500. The man with two talents was given £675,000. And the man with one talent, half of that, of course, £337,500. Thus, the man who went away to a far country left his employee with not a little of his money. This was no fairy tale story of a far-fetched imagination. And the huge import of what these men were given, we need to really understand. It was common at that time for a wealthy man to entrust the management of his resources to a servant, and he would expect interest. So when we now consider the wider meaning of talent, human ability for business, for service, for leadership, for art, for horticulture, or whatever, we must understand the weight of importance the Lord Jesus puts on this word talent or bag of silver. The parable stresses the need of proper investment to gain an acceptable return. I repeat, the parable stresses the need of proper investment to gain an acceptable return. Now, in its context, this story is in the middle of our Lord's lengthy teaching concerning end times. It begins there in chapter 24 and goes on throughout chapter 25. And I wonder, when was the last time you thought about when this sad old world is going to come to an end? And are you ready for it, if it should come in your lifetime? Are you ready for it, even if it did not come in your lifetime? Or are you like those whom Peter criticized for saying that things will continue as they always have from the very beginning, with the assumption they will continue forevermore, like this, Amen? Is that how you live your life? People generally live their lives that way, with this attitude. I trust not Christians, that all things will continue as they were. But how do we know? How does anybody know? We don't. The uncertain times of our world may be, just maybe, the last birth pangs before the Lord's return in glory. Or they may not. But He is coming. And perhaps today. To usher in a new heaven and new earth wherein dwells righteousness and only peace and harmony forevermore. He is coming. The fact is, things will not always continue as they were. The end is coming. Jesus promised it. Just look back to chapter 25, verse 13. Watch therefore, for you know not neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. As there in my version, it can be attached, a footnote in yours. Watch, because you don't know the hour. And verses 31 and 32, just beyond the reading we have this evening, when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory, all the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. Jesus promised that He is coming, and coming for judgment. So then, Jesus is telling us, in this parable, of the silver, the talents, He's telling us in this parable that we are accountable for how we use the gifts and the abilities that we have been given. Or in other words, how have we used His investment of grace in us? How have you used His investment of grace in you? How have I used His investment of grace in me? Are we producing a return on His investment? Paul says, so that each of us shall give an account of himself to God. Just as these servants had to do here on the return of their Lord. The fact that there is a long time between our Lord's first coming and that of His second need not worry us. It has always been the plan. In Matthew 25, verse 5, while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. The bridegroom being the Lord Jesus Christ, who's gone away, but will come back. Verse 14, the kingdom of heaven is like a man travelling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. Jesus has gone away into glory and will one day return. Verse 19, after a long time the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So the Lord Jesus, after a long time, will come back and expect an accounting. But let us note this. Let us note this. Although it seems such a long, long time, the time is appreciably shorter than when our Lord first uttered these words. The time is appreciably shorter than when you first believed. Are you ready? Are we investing our lives for Jesus? Well, if that is not enough, let's go a little further. What then exactly is the point of the parable? What does it say to me? Well, it's clearly about stewardship. I don't think we have any problem with that. We are custodians of all that the Lord our God has graciously given to us. The Christian readily says, using the Apostle's words, for I was bought at a price, therefore I will glorify God in my body and in my spirit, which are God's. The parable is about what we do with what the Lord has given us in the time remaining before He returns for judgment of the living and the dead. What is important here, however, I think, it's not just what you are going to do with your God-given life from this moment on, but what you have done with it in days gone by. I'm going to address that point a little bit later in this sermon. But think of that for a moment. Jesus has given all of us, individually and collectively as his church, skills, time, money, resources that he wants us to use in his kingdom service. And one day, each of us will give an account to him of how we have used what he has entrusted to us. You see, we're not only just to guard these talents or these bags of silver. As stewards, we're to use them. In the Old English, a steward was a house guard. That's what the word originally meant. We're not just to look after what he has given us and do nothing with it and just enjoy it for our own sake and our own fellowship and comfort and joy and pleasure. We're not just to be house guards. We must serve with these talents that he has given us. Back to the Old English again. Serfs. That's what we are. Servants. Serfs. We're both stewards and servants. Now, what is obvious, of course, is that we do not all have the same gifts and abilities. We're all different. In the parable, notice verse 15. It says, in the halfway there, to each according to his own ability. Dividing it in proportion to their abilities. God gives some people 5 talents, some 2 talents, some 1 talent. But he gives each person according to her potential for using what has been given. Though we do not have all equal abilities, friends, we do all have equal opportunities to be faithful in using what he has given to us. And now Jesus is asking you and me this question today. How have you invested your life for me? Someone wrote, "We dare not give him back our lives unused, unenriched, undeveloped. We dare not. We dare not give him back our lives unused, unenriched, and undeveloped. We dare not." And any life not lived for Jesus Christ and his kingdom is severely, I put it to you, severely impoverished. Any life not lived for Jesus Christ and his kingdom is severely impoverished. Impoverished as if that life was buried in the ground like that one bag of silver, mouldering in the ground and of no use to man nor beast. You know, the Bank of England may be content with a low interest rate of 0.5% or whatever it is, but a low spiritual and practical return on the Lord's investment of grace in you and me is not acceptable. You see, it does not matter how little you think you have to offer in your life to the Lord. He wants you to invest it all for him. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. And give him then a good return on his investment of grace in your life. Yes, guard those gifts, nurture them, but also serve with them too. And if perhaps, dear friend, you've not put your talents to work up until now, or not very much perhaps, then be given a new life of Christian stewardship and serfdom today. God expects you and me to do what is appropriate according to what he has entrusted to us. However little it might be, you can do something with it. Just pray. Ask him, he'll show you. The key question here is, am I being faithful? The fruitfulness is his business, not mine. Just like a financial investor, he puts his money into the bank, but has no control over what interest he may or may not get. That's up to the bank. So our return, ultimately, the fruitfulness, ultimately, is his responsibility. Ours is making the investment in the first place. We invest our life in God's bank of sovereign will, and he will bring the fruit, the return, on that investment. A verse I've already mentioned more than once today. Jesus says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. And what was it here in this parable that drew forth the stern criticism? What was it? It was a lack of faithfulness on the part of that servant who received one bag of silver. But here's an important question for us to consider. Is Jesus in any way like this Lord in the parable? Is he really like the servant said in verse 24? He who had received one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. Knew you to be a hard man. Is that our Lord Jesus? Is this man going to the far country as a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ? Is this true of Jesus? A hard man? No. The master's response in verse 26 does not admit that he was a hard man. Look at it carefully. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. The Lord only was acknowledging that this is what the servant thought of him. Not what the Lord actually was. And indeed, if the servant actually thought that the Lord was a hard man, why did he not do his best with the one talent? A new army recruit, perhaps here in Colchester, who hears that his sergeant's harshness is very, very real, and will soon put the new recruit on a thither. Surely that new recruit, if he's heard that, will put his best foot forward and do everything he can to make sure that he's not going to get reprimanded, won't he? Well, if the servant here knew or thought he knew that the master was hard, why did he not do his best? The servant, you see, condemns himself. What should have been his attitude? This servant should have invested the talent out of fear of reprimand at the very least, shouldn't he? But he didn't. How much more, therefore, should we invest our lives for Christ out of a sense of his honour and glory and because of the motivation of his love and grace? To repeat, we all have talents, physical, mental and spiritual. God wants us to use all the skills, gifts and abilities he has given us to glorify him and to further his kingdom. Yes, true, he also wants us to wisely use our finances as well. He calls us to invest ourselves in his kingdom. Our gifts, our time, our prayer, our money, our self-sacrifice, and so on and so on. And so if you're a real disciple of Jesus Christ, you'll be raring to go, wanting to serve the Lord in some new or revived way, depending upon what is in the range of your abilities. And perhaps you will discover new abilities that you did not know you had, but the Lord has been prompting you and leading you and developing you, and revealed these to you, and you are keen to use them for Him. You'll be thinking this sort of thing. Can I serve in the Sunday school or youth group? Would the Lord have me serve pastorally amongst the women of the church or amongst the sick of our neighbourhood? Should I be doing some door-to-door evangelism? Is the Lord prompting me to take up full-time work in the kingdom? Or you might be saying to yourself, I'm going to be more diligent in my prayer. And for the work of the gospel, for missions, for our pastor, for our Sunday school teachers, for the work of the gospel in Colchester, I'm going to pray more, Lord. Or I'll resolve to do more Bible study and be equipped for whatever Jesus would have me to do, and so on. But we need to return to this question. But what of my uninvested past? Yesterday and before. Well, I said earlier, the man who went to the far country, I think, would similarly be displeased with the man with one bag of silver had he invested it only for 2 weeks before his return, having done nothing with the money all the years before. I don't think the Lord would have been very chuffed with 2 weeks' investment, but it could have been 20 years. No different from as he was because he buried it in the ground. And maybe, just maybe, you think perhaps the Lord Jesus will criticise your past failures, that you've not invested your life for him as you perhaps could have done. But not so. Let me say, if you're not yet his disciple, not yet a Christian, then you may start today, friend. If you've never given your heart, mind, soul, body, life to the Lord Jesus Christ in thanksgiving for the fact he died on the cross for your sin to give you life eternal, peace with God, and the sure and certain hope of heaven, if you have never given your life to him, do so today. You may start today to invest your life for the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Lord Jesus will not be like this Lord and criticise past failures. Any parallels there mustn't be pressed too far. When you go to Jesus and tell him that you're sorry you've lived for too many years without him, he will not reprimand you or show disapproval and touch you and say, really, you should have become a Christian 20 years ago. Jesus won't do that. You see, but this is confession, however, that we agree with God that our life has not been lived in his ways for too long. That's what confession is. Confession means to say the same thing, to agree with God. Yes, God, you're right. I should have given my life to the Lord Jesus years ago, but I haven't, but I'm here today. And this is forgiveness, that God will fully forgive and forget all the past sins and failures. Hallelujah. Simply put your trust in Jesus Christ, accept and believe that he came into this world to seek and to save the lost, you and me. And this also too is a word for any Christian who has been less than dedicated to the Lord in past times. If you turn to Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39, and if you don't have a Bible with you, then listen to these words, these wonderful, wonderful verses from Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death, nor life, neither angels, nor demons, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Did you notice what is missing from that list about potential things to separate us from the love of God? What is missing there, friends, is the past. Why is the past not mentioned by Paul? Well, I suggest to you, because our past is forgiven, is under the blood of Jesus Christ, gone, removed, as far as the east is from the west, your sins and iniquities I'll remember no more. That's why the past isn't there. So if you have not been diligent in serving the Lord all these years, that past will not be raked up to beat you around the head. That's not our Lord. Today is a new day. When you renew your faith and trust in Jesus, your past, no matter how awful it might have been, no matter how mediocre it might have been, no matter how reasonable it might have been, your past is hidden under the perfect sacrifice of Jesus for you. Your poor life of investment is not held against you. What is important, however, is what you do from here on in, isn't it? Having heard this word today. So please, friends, don't let this parable pass you by. Its sternness toward the unfaithful steward is a wake-up call to each of us who names the name of Jesus as Lord. We're reminded of our responsibility to do something with what he has given to us, to invest our lives for Jesus' sake. Through this church, week by week, day by day, you have the opportunity of investing your personal resources so that others in this neighbourhood and further afield may hear the good news of Jesus Christ. They may benefit from your ministry. You see, when you leave the church collectively and you go your separate ways, you are pushing out the boundaries of this fellowship into wherever it is the Lord has you. And there, as part of this fellowship, you are serving the Lord. You're investing for him as a representative of Artillery Street Evangelical Church. You belong to one another and you serve together, investing your lives for Christ. So let us finally note the results of this investment. To both the man who had 10 talents, 10 bags of silver, and the man who had 4 bags of silver, or 4 talents, Jesus says what? Enter into the joy of your Lord, or let's celebrate together. It's there in verses 21 and 23. Think of those words. Let's celebrate together. Enter the joy of your Lord. Who can tell what it will mean to share our Lord's happiness? Can we begin to imagine the beautiful reward, the glory of this prospect of entering into the joy of our Lord, of celebrating with him? Can we really begin to imagine the wonder of it all? It's reserved for us all we who trust in Jesus as our loving Saviour, even for you and for me, as we invest our lives for him. Amen. Before we sing, I'd like us to pray together, if we may please, a hymn of dedication. Lord Jesus, forgive us if we have always been looking to the future for opportunities to glorify you. If it is indeed true that we have been living in the future and not in this day that you have given to us. A life of dedication is what we want to have, but we long for it only to be tomorrow. and not today. Forgive us if we're just being Christians in a dream, living in an unreal future world, neglecting the marvellous opportunities you offer each of us today. Lord, give us the strength to rise above the weakness of postponement and continuously create in us a feeling of life is today, for tomorrow I may never be. In your name, Lord, we pray. Amen.